Welcome to Send Me On My Way. I'm your host, Audrey Dean Kelly. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything from music to pop culture to reality TV to pretty much whatever I want. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Sabrina Carpenter episode, y'all. I am coming off quite a high from last night. I went to the Sabrina Carpenter show at Barclays, and I got tickets very, very, very last minute. I mean, the show, it said it started at 7. Guys, I was like in my apartment at 6:30 with like 3 different tabs open on Vivid Seats and Ticketmaster and whatever, watching for the pit tickets to see if they'd go down to a price that I was willing to splurge on. Because I am someone that historically, I've always loved outdoor concerts because I really don't like being confined to a seat when I'm watching a music. I just don't. I like to move around. I like to dance. And I have struggled historically to get into shows in the same way when I'm confined to a seat in a stadium setting. So I'm like watching these ticket prices last night, and like at first they were like, I don't know, $1,000 when I was first looking, and the tickets for a section in the nosebleeds were all like $500. And so I was not going to pay $500 to sit in a seat, but I knew that the prices were going to go down because there were a lot of tickets listed. So if you guys are on the fence, I do recommend this strategy. So yeah, I had like 3 different tabs open, and finally one of the pit tickets came up for like $600. It was like maybe $100 more than a ticket in the nosebleeds. And so your girl hopped on it. I was a little bit nervous that it was going to be a scam, but it was not. And yeah, thank God I had started to do my hair earlier, because I kind of got it in my mind earlier in the day. I was like, you have to go. You know, I have missed out on a lot of concerts over the years that I wish I would have gone to, and I need to make a pledge to go to more. And last night definitely restored my faith in live music. Not that it needed to be restored, but my God, in pop music performance, it was just incredible. But yeah, to back it up, I basically booked those tickets very last minute, hopped in a cab. Your girl wore a little Moschino vintage sweater that I got from my aunt, and a little French lingerie type top, and some skinny jeans. I definitely was, stuck out as a millennial in the crowd. Not gonna lie, I was one of the older ones in the pit. I am a pop girly princess at heart, and I always will be. But yeah, got there, and honestly, I could have waited later, and I kind of wonder, had I waited like an hour later, if I would have gotten a pit ticket for like $300. I should have like looked at the prices once I got there. But yeah, hopped in a cab and got there probably an hour and a half before she started performing. I made the strategic move to get as close as I could to the heart, because when I got to the pit, there were maybe like 2 layers of girls in front of the area where the heart is. And then everybody was crowded around the very front of the stage. But I had seen on TikTok that the night before, she spends a lot of time at the heart. And let me tell you, she does. So if you're going to the other shows, and not a lot of people are around that area, I recommend it, because you still get a really good view of everything else. And I will say, it was tough for me to see the bed cam performance. She had those up on the monitors, and I think it would have been hard for anybody to see it because it has the curtains around that part of the set. She came on, I think, around 9 o'clock. And I won't lie, there were these very young girls next to me, I think probably in high school. And they were, first of all, everybody was dressed so cute. And had I planned this more in advance, I would have dressed a little bit more the part. But everybody had on the little 90s, and like everybody's commitment to the costume was incredible. But the girls next to me were dressed super cute and they were in platforms. And so their feet were killing them because, you know, we were waiting there. I feel like the opener wrapped up, I feel like around 8 o'clock. And she went on closer to 9. But these little girls were complaining. They were like, it's so rude to your fans to go on late. And guys, this was like 5 minutes after 8:30. And I was just sitting there and like, just kind of rolling my eyes because I'm like, I know your daddy bought you these tickets and she's 5 minutes late. Calm the fuck down. But alas, once she went on, first of all, the intro videos are incredible. I have to say, nobody is making music videos as well as Sabrina Carpenter is these days. She has brought back a level of artistry into music videos that was missing. And it's also that same vibe, this old Hollywood kind of movie set. And she's really playing on her history as an actress. And I think it's really a smart move because one of the most interesting things that I find about Sabrina Carpenter's vocal performances is she is such a good actress and it really carries through in her vocal performance, if that makes sense. And I think it does. I think it's the affectations that she does. She has one of the most interesting voices and with so many different layers that I've ever heard. And, you know, she has a long history in the game. I mean, she was doing voiceover work on cartoons really early. I'm talking, God, she was born in 99. I think as of 2011, she was doing acting and voiceover work. And I think that really plays into her vocal talents as a performer. I just think there's nobody making pop music. No, I'm not going to say that, but she is making a very special type of pop music. And I think it's the way that she's incorporated her acting and that history into this and also her personal life. I mean, all of it is just so old Hollywood and so drama. It's just so good. I mean, the music video with Barry Keoghan was incredible. I mean, all of her music videos are just espresso. They're iconic. And that carried over into her live performances. I mean, first of all, she carried over. The costumes were incredible. I am only going to touch on the hair for a little bit because I am doing an entire hair theory episode. So I'm going to wait to talk about her hair for that episode when I have my best friend and hairdresser, Jenna, on because we're going to dive into all of that. But I will say, the hair worked hard. It was incredible. And kudos to whoever did her hair because she worked her little ass off. And at the end of, I don't know however long she was on, but the hair was perfect. And like, it wasn't like she had these wet, sloppy, she looked phenomenal. She really did. She sounded phenomenal. And I was really surprised with the songs that I loved the most live. I mean, look, I loved the classics. I loved Please, Please, Please. I loved all of the espresso and the dancey ones. Don't get me wrong. Those were incredible. But some of my favorite parts of the night were more of the acoustic performances. Okay, so Coincidence was probably one of my favorites. Because she came out onto the heart. She reminded me of Stevie Nicks when she was performing it, to be honest with you. And it just, I mean, granted, I was really, really close. It felt intimate to me, but it felt really intimate in a massive setting. That was one of my favorites. I also loved Sharpest Tool. I think I'm right that this is the one that she performed when she was on the toilet. Yes, it was. I want to talk about that whole setup because, first of all, she goes up and she's like, I need to go use the toilet. the set, we're going to get to it, but the set is basically like a Barbie dream house for Sabrina Carpenter that feels like an I Love Lucy set meets like the Austin Powers fembots. And it's just, I mean, it's everything. It's everything. It's incredible. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, watching this made me realize that like what I do right now, maybe I could parlay that eventually into set design because I think they could maybe be work together. But I was really inspired by the set. But I want to talk about specifically Sharpest Tool because that was one of my favorite moments of the night. And she performed it on the toilet, which was incredible. But I want to talk about the screens that they set up. So you had her face projected. You see her on the toilet. And then you also had her face projected on the outside of these screens. And it just, it was so well done. And part of why it was so well done is because you really saw how she acts out these songs. She feels, I mean, I don't even want to call it acting necessarily. Like she's feeling it and the performance she's delivering, you see it all over her face. It gives so many levels of depth when you watch her perform. And that song specifically, watching her face and watching her work through that performance was so honest, so vulnerable, so raw. It was really moving. Yeah, it was a lot of those more acoustic songs. Now I'm trying to remember which one was the song that she sang. Hold on, I need to pivot to this. Not coincidence. The Graces. I think it was Dumb and Poetic. Yes. Oh, Dumb and Poetic was, I mean, that was one of the best performances I've ever seen. That was one of my favorites. Dumb and Poetic was one of my favorites. Lie to Girls was also incredible. I need to look back. I feel like Lie to Girls was the one that she was playing guitar on. And I also didn't realize that she played guitar. I mean, I guess obviously she can play guitar. It was amazing. Juno also was one of my favorites, and partially because I was right in front of the heart. She like runs out to the heart and she does her whole little, did you ever try this one? I knew she was going to do that because I watched the MSG TikTok, so I got there on purpose. But she does this thing where she makes everybody like get down on the ground. I did feel my age because I was wearing skinny jeans and I was wearing my like pre-baby size skinny jeans that I like poured myself into, and it was hard for mama to get down on her knees, not gonna lie, but I did. And she like raises up on the heart and it's just, it's like such a party. I love that song so much, honestly. And that gets me to the part that I want to talk about Sabrina Carpenter. I've been wanting to do an episode on Sabrina Carpenter already because I have so many feelings about her music and her type of pop music and what it means as a female artist and kind of the boundaries that she's pushing and that just the way that they are making this like clever, sexual, it's just, the writing is just so incredible. And I think that I would be remiss to not mention Amy Allen and some of the other songwriters that worked on Short and Sweet. But specifically, I want to hone in on Amy Allen because, first of all, her music in its own right is incredible. So you should go check her out. Queen of Silver Linings, amazing song. Girl with a Problem, I really love. Reason to Forgive. But what's interesting is go listen to her because I think you'll hear some of the folky stylings that I think come through in Sabrina Carpenter's music. I feel like we're getting that through this Amy Adams writing partnership. But on a deeper level, I think you should look back on how long Amy Allen has been working with Sabrina Carpenter, because I think that there is something, I think the reason why the writing on Short and Sweet was as phenomenal as it is because of Amy Allen and Sabrina Carpenter's writing together. They write on every Amy Allen and Carpenter write on every single song of the album. They are the only consistent two that are on every single song of the album. Some of them are with Jack Antonoff. Some of them are with Ryan Kirkpatrick. Basically, Amy Allen and Sabrina Carpenter have been working together, I think, since like 20, when I looked back, they had been working together since like 2022, which the album was released in 2022. So odds are they've worked together since like 21. But Amy Allen has worked with a lot of artists. I mean, she was the one who wrote Greedy by Tate McRae. Just go look her up. She's written a bunch. She wrote for Harry Styles. I think that song Adore Me, Adore You. I'm not sure, but she's really talented. And what I want to get back to is co-writing can be really, really special. And especially when you give it the space to grow together. I mean, look, that's what we saw with Lennon and McCartney. You see, the longer that you write with someone and when you have that kind of friendship, and I think to be able to write this kind of music, I think you have to have a really safe, funny, kind of friendly, like it feels like songs that were written with your best friend while you guys were just like messing around talking about the boys that broke your heart. It feels like that. And that's why we love it. That's why it's giving such like, I mean, people say this album is like the ultimate ovulation album. It is. It is. I mean, Juno is the ultimate ovulation song, but like the whole album. And I feel like it's this magic of the two of them. It really is. And I just want to make it clear, Sabrina Carpenter is an incredible songwriter. I mean, she's the consistent, and especially the last album too. I mean, Feather, Nonsense, like, and she, I will say, I was really happy she played quite a few of the older songs too. She played quite a few. She also played the bonus tracks and a new track called Busy Woman, which I get all my music on Spotify. So I guess I need to buy the album to get the bonus track. So after last night, I will go do that. Okay, to get back to the concert, I might be all over the place, but yeah, to get back to the concert, I got there early. I specifically did not drink because when I got my spot, I was like, Jesus, this is such a good spot. I'm going to be right in front of the stage. And if I start drinking, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. And if I don't drink, then I can stay here and I can watch the whole thing. And that is what I did. And I historically have not done that at shows. Normally, I am drinking beers and I'm having to miss songs to go to the bathroom. And then I'm having to wade back through the crowd and lose my spot. So let me tell you, it was a lot of fun. And I think this is the first show I've ever gone to on my own. I might just start doing that exclusively from now on. And here is why. And I did notice this somewhat in the crowd when I saw like some of the groups of girls together. Sometimes if I go with the wrong people to concerts that are kind of like, sometimes if people are too self-aware at concerts, it like gets in the way of them having fun. I mean, I feel like that's a general rule in life. If you're too self-conscious, you haven't let your guard down and you're not going to have as much fun. I mean, that's why a lot of people do drugs at concerts, is so they can let their guard down, have fun, let loose, and dance. So for me to be sober at this concert and totally be able to let loose, because I didn't know any of the people around me, I didn't give a shit. I was dancing my ass off. I was singing my little heart out. And I was able to really get into it because I didn't care what anybody around me thought. And I didn't necessarily feel that all the time from the people around me. I felt like a lot of girls were like checking their makeup and like, I don't know. In some songs, in the like popular songs, sure, they were singing along, but I do think that's something that people can get in the way it can get in the way of a live performance for experience for yourself if you're not able to just let your own guard down and enjoy it. So me going by myself allowed me to just fully let my guard down, fully enjoy it. I mean, I felt like my inner child was let out. It was like the young Spice Girls fan Audrey got to go see Sabrina Carpenter. She's one of my favorite new pop stars of all time. I mean, she's like, for sure, after last night, maybe my favorite of all time. She's something else. She really is. I could go on for a long time. But her dancing skills are incredible. She's so polished. Her vocals are impeccable. Really, really strong vocals. And just a really confident, flirty, fun, emotional. It just, there were so many different emotions. Look, I think, and I hope, I mean, we get more acting out of her. I think it would be a disservice to only have her be a pop star for the rest of her life, because this girl has acting chops and it comes through so clearly in her pop music. And I'm super excited for her Netflix special because I hope they kind of showcase that. And I hope that we see her getting bigger roles that I really think after seeing her level of performance, I kind of want to go back now and watch Boy Meets Girl Meets World, but I was just too old for it. So, you know, guys, I was born in 87. She's born in 99. I've been a little too old for it, but I want to go back to just how polished she was, because it goes back to how long she has been working at this. And I think that she is handling this meteoric. Look, she had a huge summer too. Chapel Roan also had a huge summer. They both had meteoric success. However, Sabrina Carpenter she's been famous for a lot longer. She's been in this game on a, you know, maybe not in a household name level, but I mean, I really am not sure. I think for Gen Z, maybe she has been a household name, and maybe I'm just too old to have known about her until this summer. I think that's probably possible. So maybe I'm late to the game. I probably am. But she has been working at this for a long time. I talked about it earlier. She's done a lot of voiceover work. She's been hustling, and you see that. I mean, go look at her IMDb. She is a hardworking industry girl, and it shows. It really does. And yeah, I'm so happy that I went. Really, it was such a last minute splurge, but this is your sign. If she's coming to your town, go. If you have the flexibility, like I did, wait until the very last second and see if you can get your tickets when they go down lower. Now, there is another thing that we need to talk about, which is at MSG the night before, Sabrina Carpenter alluded to, what did she say? She said, should we talk about how I got the mayor indicted? So this was news to me, but apparently, for those of you who did not know this, Sabrina Carpenter's music video for Feather was filmed at a Catholic church in Brooklyn. This guy, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to call him Monsignor Jamie. I'm not going to try to pronounce this last name. I can't. But basically, Monsignor Jamie granted her permission to do this. And that really ruffled, because like if you've seen the Feather music video, it's a very sexual music video filmed in the Catholic Church. And basically the Diocese of Brooklyn had a problem with it. And the bishop basically opened a probe into the dealings of that Monsignor Jamie. And through that probe, through this probe, it led to this guy Frank Carone being investigated. And that is Eric Adams' chief of staff. And that is how basically Sabrina Carpenter's music video led to a knock-on effect where Eric Adams got indicted. So crazy. Small world. But yeah, she brought the house down and the set was just, it was incredible. It was like a Sabrina dream house. My friend lives in LA and invited me to go to, with her to the ones there. I would honestly go see her again. She was that good. So that says a lot. The costumes, though, the costumes definitely recalled her, the Taste music video. Like, I loved this, like, cat suit that she had. The hair had its own performance, and we will get into that on the Hair Theory episode. But all in all, I think she's one of the greatest pop stars we have ever seen, and I am so excited for what's to come next. And I am excited to see what comes out of her and Amy Allen specifically. I just think they knocked this album out of the park. Jack Antonoff, specifically, God, what is that song that I'm so obsessed with on this album? The way that Antonoff produced Sharpest Tool, and specifically the second verse of Sharpest Tool, he does this like underwater kind of effect. It's interesting. Once you start to produce music, you listen to music in a, or maybe all of you listen to music this way, I don't know. But I listen to music in a more scientific way now. And the production on Sharpest Tool is probably one of my favorites on the album. And no wonder it was one of my favorites in a live performance. Yeah, Bed Chem was incredible. The way that the stage is set up, Bed Chem is completely closed off. You can see through these sheer scrims, basically. To see the first part of the performance, you have to look up at the monitors because they're filming her from above. And I will say that does go back to this like Hollywood kind of voyeuristic movie production vibe. You get that from this set. It feels like an old Hollywood TV set. And the way that they film this, you feel that. It comes across in the live performance. Really interesting, but it was hard for me to see her from where I was at for that performance. But yeah, Good Graces was also a favorite. It brings me back to like middle school dances in like 99, which is interesting because that's the year she was born. She is reminding me of music that is from that era of like R&B with those songs specifically. With Good Graces, Lie to Girls also is a favorite, and it also was one of my favorites live. That was the one that she was playing guitar on. But also Lie to Girls, again, Carpenter, Allen, Antonoff. I feel like some of my favorites are that combination on this album. So let's talk about those. Lie to Girls, Slim Pickens, Sharpest Tool, Please, Please, Please. All of those are the Jack Antonoff, Allen, and the new one, Busy Woman, which also, let's see. So, okay, so Taste is not Antonoff. So it's interesting when you look at this. I would be remiss to not mention, like, Julia Michaels worked on this. She is one of the best songwriters in the industry. I'm not going to pretend like I know these other people. John Ryan, Ian Kirkpatrick. I actually feel like I should know that name. It's really familiar, but alas, I don't. John Henry Ryan, producer from Rochester. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I just have to say, I hope this album wins a lot of Grammys because I think it really deserves it. There's not a bad track on the album. Like, and I have to say, that's music these days. You really have to release every track needs to be a banger. And like this, all 12 tracks, for sure, bangers. I am going to go buy the vinyl today and the digital so that I can get these extra tracks that I did not know the words to last night. I felt a little embarrassed. But yeah, she's incredible. And I will say, I didn't want to talk about this because it's the least interesting thing about her. But as I also am someone who is a niece of someone famous. Miss Sabrina Carpenter is the niece of the woman who does the voice work for Bart Simpson. And I say that not because I want to label her as a Nepo niece or Nepo baby or whatever. I actually really don't think she is. But I think vocally, knowing that, I think, okay, think about it. The vocal chops that you have to be the voice of Bart Simpson, and I think she voiceovers like many of the characters on The Simpsons. It is interesting to look at that and Sabrina Carpenter's voiceover background and how that has shaped her to be the phenomenal pop performer that she is. That is why I do think it's interesting to state, not because I'm saying that she got to where she is because she has a famous aunt, because FYI people, it just doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
Yeah. There are doors that may open and there are introductions that are had, but if you don't have the chops and you don't have the talent and you don't have the work ethic, it doesn't matter. So I can't deny that, like, you have experiences and rooms that you're in that you would never get to otherwise. But I don't know how much the voiceover actress from The Simpsons really opened. I don't want to say that so much about Sabrina because I feel like it diminishes from how hard she's worked, and it just gives people an excuse to label her in a way as if she doesn't deserve this talent, this fame, and she's very deserving of it. She's worked very hard. I love the old little YouTube videos of her when she's like 10 years old singing like Christina Aguilera covers. This girl has been working her little butt off. So it was just really emotional to see her in that setting. And I'm not going to lie, the more I go to these massive concert settings, it reminds me of like, okay, look, one of my earlier concerts was like Britney Spears, just to compare. And like, I remember watching Britney Spears as a young girl, and Britney Spears on stage felt so unattainable and so out of reach and like the ultimate dream to me. And I wanted it. I wanted to be her, and it definitely set off a chain of events in my life to try to do that and write pop music and whatnot, but it felt very far off. And what I have been doing since being a musician, when I go to shows, I purposefully try to feel like I'm in their position and feel like what that would feel like and feel like I could do it. And look, the dancing chops, no. I am a horrible dancer. I am like Elaine level. I'm a Phoebe, y'all. I really am. So I never will be a dancer. But like when I went to the John Mayer concert last, like I sat there and I was like, okay, I'm not saying that I could play a guitar like John Mayer right now, but if I work my ass off, maybe someday I can. But what I'm saying is when you have a dream like that, it's good to go to these experiences and especially to be that close to kind of feel the energy. I'm a big believer of manifesting. So I definitely do that when I'm at these shows. Look, I am trying to get my music out there. I am going to be booking more live performances. And I'm doing that so I'm polished enough that if my music ever does pop off, I will be ready to be on those big stages because, like, that's the end game here. That's the goal. I mean, that's what drives all of this, just so you know. I may be doing a podcast, but ultimately, my ultimate dream is still to be headlining MSG and making music for a living. And, I mean, I am loving this podcast, too, so potentially always do that as well. But that is and has always been the goal. So it was just good to get out and see one of my newest favorite idols just bring down the house in Brooklyn. And as Brooklyn was the place where I got my start in New York, it was quite fitting. Now, I did have quite an adventure getting home. Okay, so when you leave these concerts in, like, especially at the ones in Queens, it's really hard to get an Uber. Like, it's so impossible to find your Uber when that many people are leaving. So, like, in those cases, it's just, it's not worth it. And also the taxis are impossible to get. So your best bet is the subway. And I was by myself. But I basically, like, walked with some people further to the subway that was, like, a little bit further to take, like, the three. And I get on the subway and I get off at Times Square. And at first I'm like, I'm just going to take, like, the shuttle to Grand Central, except every single car has, like, one, like, squatter dude on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to be alone in a subway car with any of these guys. No. So I go, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the M. I go get on the platform. Granted, also in the background, this is also happening. People are having, like, a Sabrina Carpenter sing-along, which is, like, the most New York thing, is, like, in the subway in Times Square after a concert, people are, like, all coming together singing the music. It's amazing. So I'm, like, sitting there. I hear that. And, like, I see this dude out of the corner of my eye, like, looking over at me, and he had, like, kind of come from behind the stairwell, but there was also, like, another girl who was standing next to me, and, like, we were both coming from the show. We were both dressed for the show, for sure. I look over, and I realize that this guy has his penis out, and he is masturbating in front of me. And so I basically ran out of there and I hopped in a cab and got myself home. I wish I could say that was the first time that's happened in New York City, but it is not. That is something that does happen, sadly, in city life. Not that you should be desensitized to it, and not that it's okay. It's really nasty. It's not okay. So, yeah. Quite a little wild ride home, but all in all, one of the best nights of my life. So thank you, Sabrina.
Took a train after quark, show me off to your friends, try it on.